Alex, in my mind, you know, you have to have physicals before these deals are consummated. And for the Marlins to be upset that he got injured in the only game he pitched is a little puzzling in my mind.
I agree. Mark, if you've seen something like this, please correct me. But in my lifetime, I can't remember seeing anything quite like this. Colin Ray had one outing with the Marlins. You mentioned it. He pitched 4 1/3 shutout innings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the pitch where he got injured on, he went into his windup, threw the pitch, didn't really grimace, just sort of came up and called for the training staff. They pulled him right there, but he went 4 scoreless innings, and that was it for his Marlins career. And I agree with you. If he had elbow injuries in the past, you would think that the physical would probably pick something like that up. And from what the injury report said, he went back on the disabled list with an elbow sprain. Now, if he would have tore his UCL or there would have been ligament damage, then I can understand why the Marlins would be angry. But at the same time, you've seen this before. This isn't the first time where a player has been traded by a team when they knew that something wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why the Marlins are acting like this has never happened before. This happens quite often, actually.
You know, Colin Ray, nevertheless, back in San Diego. And among the deals today, the Jay Bruce trade has been consummated. There was some question about, actually goes to the Mets from the Reds. And Alex, originally, Brandon Nimmo was supposed to be in the deal. He was going to go from the Mets to the Reds, one of the high prospects for the Mets. Apparently, well, there's some rumors about one of the players involved in the deal, perhaps a minor leaguer, going through some medical issues. Therefore, the deal was held up. Turns out it was Nimmo.
That is correct. And we were chatting with Todd Brommelkamp before the show, and he was talking to Tyler Ryder, who's actually on vacation, the resident Mets fan. And the question when this deal got held up was, who was the injured player that this deal is being held up for? And Tyler brought up the fact that Nimmo had a foot injury back in spring training. And all along, we thought Nimmo was going to be the centerpiece of the deal heading to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just about, 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, right before the clock struck 3 p.m. Central Time, we found out that Nimmo was not, in fact, part of the trade, so it was clear that he was the injured player in question.
He had an ankle injury or something earlier, right?
Yeah. Correct. Instead, Dilson Herrera will be the centerpiece of the deal, and those two teams, though there was a holdup, they got the deal done anyway. So it's been an interesting couple of hours for those two teams, because who we thought was the centerpiece of the deal didn't actually end up being the centerpiece of the deal.
Well, it's interesting there, an interesting aspect anyway, and Jay Bruce moving from the outfield of the Reds to the outfield of the Mets, presumably in right field, is that might open a spot for Cedar Rapids Prairie's Scott Schebler, who just today was named the International League Player of the Month at Triple A Louisville. He's got 311 average, 13 homers, 18 doubles, 8 triples, and 43 RBIs during his stay in Louisville. He started out in Cincinnati after being traded from the Dodgers. So Schebler, it appears that he's done all he possibly can do at Triple A at this point, and with Bruce vacating a spot in the outfield, you would think Schebler would have a decent shot at that.
I thought he might have a shot out of spring training. He originally made the team. Is that correct?
Yes.
He originally made the team. It would have been the fourth outfielder. So, yeah, you would think at this point in the season, we knew at the beginning of the year that team wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that right now, that we're getting into the dog days of August. We're going to get into September here. So you would think that front office is trying to figure out what they have for the future. They're getting some prospects in return. On the trade market, now they need to find out what they have in a prospect who I believe they're pretty high on.
Just moments ago, 4 or 5 minutes ago, the Giants have acquired left-handed pitcher Matt Moore from the Tampa Bay Rays. The Cubs with a little business today, acquiring pitcher Joe Smith for Jesus Castillo. Among the other deals today, Rich Hill and Josh Reddick go to the Dodgers. Matt Lucroy did not invoke his no-trade clause, as he's going to the Rangers. And Texas also picked up Carlos Beltran today from the Yankees. And all the deals the Yankees have made, Alex, they've really strengthened their farm system.
And I believe that is our poll question for the day. I'll have to refresh the page here. But the question is, who of any team improved the most before the trade deadline?
Yeah, KGYMRadio.com. What team improved its pennant chances the most prior to the MLB trade deadline? It'll be the Rangers, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Indians, the Mets, or the Giants. Thanks to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I wanted to throw this out, Alex. Cubs, of course, picked up Aroldis Chapman, the flame-throwing left-hander, who's had, three outings, blew one save, but was good in the other two. When the Cubs did that, did it push some of the other contenders, American League or National League, to get a reliever like Andrew Miller going to the Indians, for example?
It's funny because you ask certain front office executives that same question, and they say, of course not. That didn't happen. We didn't react to what other teams did, but absolutely it
Melanson
did.
Went to the Nationals.
Mark Melanson, the other contender in the National League, just so happens to pick up a reliever who was obviously more affordable, but also a pretty darn good closer in Mark Melanson. And you see Andrew Miller being dealt. Mm-hmm. So, of course, absolutely. And for executives to say, that really didn't happen, that maybe actively they didn't, after Aroldis Chapman was dealt, they actively didn't go out and say, okay, well, we're panicked now, we need to go get a reliever. But it certainly was in the back of their mind when they made those deals. Absolutely.
The Twins, who you can hear on KGYM tonight, joined in progress against the Cleveland Indians, Andrew Miller's new team. That'll be joined in progress at 7 p.m. They dealt Fernando Abad today to the Red Sox for Pat Light, a right-handed pitcher who is one of the top prospects in the Red Sox organization. But and he's got mid-90s stuff, but he hasn't yet lived up to his potential. Hector Santiago comes over to the Twins. Not sure who else was involved in that deal, but we'll get that to you. Hector Santiago has pitched for the White Sox and the Angels, a 3.68 career ERA, as the Twins try to bolster their pitching staff, not only for this year, but beyond.
What do you think? As a Twins fan, what do you think about these trades?
I don't mind Abad being shipped out. This is a guy who was a non-roster player out of spring training and made the club, and the Twins got just about as much as they could out of him, I think. He had a ERA in the mid-twos, which is terrific. You can't underestimate having a left-hander out there out of the bullpen. But I think Taylor Rogers has been good for the Twins. I think he's got a lot of upside. And I think the Twins sold high on Abad and get a guy in Pat Light who would appear to have some upside in future as a pitcher. I like the fact that Irvin Santana has not been dealt. Doesn't mean he won't be before the end of the year. He'd have to clear waivers, of course. Might be dealt in the winter for all I know. But I think Ricky Nolasco was in that deal. That brought Hector Santiago over. I believe that's right.
So our Emil's Hideaway poll question has to do with contenders. Which contender bolstered their lineup, their pitching staff, the most during or before the trade deadline? If this question was which team improved the most, which team had the best cup first 2 weeks prior to the trade deadline, is the answer clearly the New York Yankees?
Well, I think with all the talent they have stockpiled, they're certainly a contender. But, I mean, the Cubs get Aroldis Chapman. And there's only one of him, isn't there?
Yes.
I mean, is this the final piece for the Cubs? Cubs had a losing record in July.
They're still dealing with some inconsistent play, but from an on-paper standpoint, they added three important pieces to the weakest part of their team. That's the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
They added a shutdown closer. They added a pretty darn good lefty specialist in Mike Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And now they added a right-handed his sidearm, is kind of a funky delivery, right-handed effective reliever. So on paper, they really don't have many weaknesses anymore.
I think the Rangers did very well getting Lucroy and Beltran. You know, the Dodgers getting Rich Hill and Josh Reddick. The Indians picking up a piece out in the bullpen in Andrew Miller.
My question for the Indians is, and let's backtrack just a little bit. It came out, I think it was on Saturday, reports came out that the Indians were acquiring Jonathan Lucroy of the Milwaukee Brewers. Later that day, the reports said that Lucroy, who has a no-trade clause in his contract, was vetoing the trade. And the reason that he did that was because the Indians didn't promise him anything. They promised that he would be used as the backup catcher. Why? Why did the Indians go through all of that trouble to make a deal? And then you'd think when you bring maybe the best hitting catcher in the National League over to the American League, you have plans to play him and play him a lot. I didn't quite understand that.
Yan Gomes, the catcher for the Indians right now.
And Carlos Santana, who is a pretty good hitting DH, has a lot of power. But
I didn't understand the Lucroy thing. I mean, Cleveland was on his list all along, on the no-trade list. But you've got a chance to go from dog meat in Milwaukee to a team that's probably going to win its division, and if not, will make the playoffs. Isn't that why you play the game?
True, but if you're not going to play, then why would you do that?
They're talking about 2017, though, aren't they? Weren't they?
Yes, but why would you want to go there this year if you're not going to play? And if you're the Indians, you'd think that Jonathan Lucroy is too good of a player to send that many prospects there to have him not play this year. I don't know.
I didn't understand that. Telling me that Lucroy is going to lose all his talent when he goes to another team. His talent alone speaks for itself. He'd be the best catcher for Cleveland. I don't know, I understand why the Indians would make that comment, but I also don't understand why Lucroy, you know, he's never going to have an opportunity in Milwaukee. Most likely not.
But at the same time, he knows that I would think that he knew he was still going to get traded. The Milwaukee Brewers really couldn't afford to keep him around for that much long. He knew he was going to get traded, and he ended up getting traded.
And to the Rangers, yeah. So you have an opportunity perhaps at the postseason as well.
He still has that same opportunity that he would have if he had gone to the Cleveland Indians, and now he's still on a contend, and now he's going to play.
Yeah. Who do you think out there? A poll question. Which of the contenders, pennant contenders, improve their chances the most? Would it be the Giants, the Rangers, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Indians, or the Cubs? I think you can make a case for most of those teams. But in terms of filling in the pieces that you really need, I really liked what the Cubs did. I mean, I think they're a hands-down favorite to win it now.
I think that I like what the Cubs did as well. I think what the Texas Rangers did, for just speaking of what they can do this year, I like what Texas did. And I don't think people realize how good of a year Carlos Beltran is having. And they traded away one of their top prospects, Dylan Tate, who has been pretty bad this year. He's been a little bit of a disappointment. He has a ton of talent, hasn't lived up to it this year. And two other minor leaguers for Carlos Beltran. But you add another powerful bat to that lineup, and then you add one of the best hitting catchers in Major League Baseball in Jonathan Lucroy. That team is going to be a terror for any pitching staff to face in the postseason.
Yeah, and Andrew Miller going to the Indians, that starting staff is tough enough the way it is. And to throw him in there for the bullpen, I mean, I think it's lights out for Cleveland.
And then another point, going back to the Yankees, what they have done, stockpiling all this talent, and if you think about it, not giving up a whole heck of a lot in the long run. You talk about Aroldis Chapman, who's on a one-year deal, who was on a one-year deal. They have a chance to re-sign him in the offseason. Carlos Beltran is also coming up on the end of his contract this year. They also have a chance to re-sign him in the offseason. They've added all these pieces for their depleted farm system. They instantly are in the top five in farm systems in Major League Baseball. And, oh, by the way, for a guy like Carlos Beltran, if they would have kept him through the year and they wanted to keep him next year, they'd have to pay him a qualifying offer. They don't have to do that anymore. They don't have to lose a draft pick in the meantime. So for Brian Cashman, who a lot of people were wondering if his days were numbered in New York, how he was getting along with the upper management of the Yankees, it's hard to argue with what he's done at the trade deadline this year.
I would agree. Great point. We're going to talk more about the movements in Major League Baseball later on in the show, and certainly more tomorrow with Cal Eldred, our Major League Baseball expert. But we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Loss of the Gazette. Stay tuned.
Oh, hi there. I'm Murphy, you know, the one the law's named after. Excuse me, please. There's a little computer something I need to take care of. Well, that's better. When it comes to your computer network, it's my job to make sure whatever can go wrong does go wrong. About the only thing that keeps old Murphy at bay is Network Computer Solutions. I put you out of business, and Network Computer Solutions gets you up and running fast. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Look at this one I caught. That fishing trip was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone.
I'm telling you, buddy, come work for Mediacom like me, and you can afford fishing trips, a motorcycle, all that stuff.
My job's okay.
Right. You never have any money.
I know.
Doing direct sales at Mediacom, I meet a lot of people, and I know the harder I work, the more I'll make.
You do make it sound pretty good.
It is good. Mediacomcable.careers, man. Just saying.
Live the life and get the stuff you want. Apply now to be a direct sales representative at Mediacomcable.careers.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Welcome back. 3:27 on the show. Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn today and through Wednesday as Scott Unash completes the rest of his 2016 vacation. He's stashed up there in Minnesota somewhere. He was reported to me today. He came off the golf course kind of refreshed this morning, and he's preparing for the Men's Cine Amateur Golf Tournament, which will get underway later this week. And certainly wish Scott the best of luck in that. Afternoon Players Club this afternoon with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn. We'll talk more about baseball. And Chris Emma from 670 to score.
Yeah, we're going to start doing check-ins for NFL training camps, regional NFL training camps. And obviously today, the MLB trade deadline, we'll talk a little bit of Bears football with Chris Emma. But we'll also talk Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs. On the South, we've talked a lot about what the Cubs have done at the trade deadline, but one of the biggest stories coming into the day was, is Chris Sale going to be traded? The trade deadline has come and gone. Chris Sale is still on the South Side of Chicago.
He is indeed. And again, we're going to have an opportunity for you to pick up 2 4-packs of tickets and 1 parking pass in each of those 4-packs to the John Deere Classic Golf Tournament. Any day, usage August 11th through the 14th. Right now we're going to bring in a guy who has covered many of John Deere Classics, Mike Loss from the Gazette. Mike.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Favorite memory from the John Deere?
Wow.
Spieth hole out?
That's enough. I suppose it was the year, I know my least favorite memory, it's when I almost got a heat stroke one year, but it was probably that, what was it, a 5-hole playoff a couple of years ago with Spieth and Johnson and David Hearn?
Yeah.
That was kind of fun. I mean, Jordan Spieth sort of stamped his name on golf that day. Zach winning shortly before that with that great shot out of the sand on 18. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, probably the 25th or 30th pork chop sandwich I had there.
Hey, listen, Spieth has gone on record as saying he will not be back to the deer. He pulled out of the Olympics and explained that he didn't feel it was quite right that he would not go to the Olympics, but go to the deer. Can you understand that?
I can, but I think it's a convenient excuse.
Mm-hmm.
They've played a lot of high-pressure golf this summer in a compressed period of time because of the Olympics. These guys who are dropping out and blaming Zika, I'm not buying it. I think it's simply a matter of the risk-reward thing. It's just, I think they're burned out on high-level competition golf and aren't really that attracted to a gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
As far as passing up the deer, you know, if he had gone and played the deer, I think that would have looked bad for him. He's not playing the Olympics, but he's playing the John Deere Classic. What's with this guy? So I think he just thought it looks best to stay away completely.
Yeah, that makes sense. We won't talk much about the PGA today because I thought it was wire to wire, and you know,
it was dull.
Jimmy Walker doesn't move the needle for me, really.
No, what little I saw was dull. I wasn't interested in it.
Yeah. Hey, it was good to see you and your wife at the Bob Brooks Celebration of Life. I want to touch on that a little bit because I thought it was just a classy deal. I got to see a lot of people I hadn't seen in quite a while. But between the video presentation and the speakers, I thought it was a fitting tribute, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a nice cross-section of people from around the area and around the state even. I mean, people came from Des Moines and from Cedar Falls for it on a weekday afternoon. That's not easy. Ben Jacobson was there. Tom Davis was there. Bump Elliott was there. People from Drake University were there. And, of course, I mean, just such a cross-section of people from the Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area. Different walks of life, not necessarily college sports, but the industry, you know, the media industry, sports, school districts, people, and just general citizens who, you know, listened to Bob and enjoyed Bob for so long.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you wrote a really good piece on Dan Dennis, who's going to go for an Olympic medal here shortly. Nowhere I've read favors him for one of the three medals, but you know, wrestlers, as you know, Mike, often march to the beat of a different drummer, and this is a guy who is not really interested in the opening ceremonies. He just wants to get on the mat. Tell us about Dan Dennis.
Well, I think that this could be a really good Olympic story. He was an All-American at Iowa in 2009-2010, and All-American means you plates. He was seventh in 09 and he was runner-up in 2010 as a senior and had a lead and it got away from him in the final period and it was just a completely devastating defeat and his college career was over. And he messes around with the sport for a while longer and then finally he says, I'm done. His body was beat up every which way. His back, his neck, his elbow, I think, or at least his arm, one of his arms. And he takes off. He leaves the Iowa wrestling room, and he gets in his vehicle, and he heads west, and he's basically living out of a car at different points. You know, going rock climbing off in the west by himself, and he eventually gravitates to California, where he's got friends who coach at a high school there, who he had done camps for them in the past and had good relationship with, and he was invited, come on out here. And so he goes out there and he helps coach high school wrestlers, and he also, I think, helps some people in an MMA gym, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of, he wasn't competing, he was just sort of healing, being around high school kids and getting their spirit and Meanwhile, there were people back at Iowa, Royce Alger and Ryan Morningstar and the Brands brothers, who kept pestering him, saying, you got to come back. You got to come back and wrestle. You got to give it one more chance. You're too good. And he wasn't hearing any of it, but he starts feeling better, and okay, one tournament. And in his own words, one tournament led to another. Next thing you know, he's back in the Iowa wrestling room, and he's really good. And so he worked his way into the Olympic wrestling trials, and then we saw what happened in April in Iowa City. He dominated the weight division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a one-day event, and he was, well, the word is dominant. And he beat Tony Ramos two straight matches in the finals. Ramos, also a former Hawkeye, and the second match was 10-0 in a minute six. And it's like, I think they got something here, you know, and a lot of people thought that. And I think a lot of people who'd been watching for the past few months, it was no surprise that Dennis won. So now he goes to Rio, and Sports Illustrated had a prediction list of every sport, every medal, and that Dennis's weight class, they don't have him medaling. But I think that the Brands brothers think otherwise. Terry Brands said last week, this guy's better than I was. And you've never known a Brands brother to say something they didn't mean.
And Terry was a bronze medalist, if I recall, Tom, a gold medalist. But
yeah, I mean, Terry won two world championships, which basically are off-year Olympics. And, of course, he won two NCAA titles. Dennis is one of these guys who found himself later in life. It happens with some wrestlers. It happens with people in various Olympic sports. He's 29, and he's never been better.
Yeah, and they talk about his gut wrench, which he put on Tony Ramos, and about three or four really quick times to get some points. And I know the Brands are really impressed with that move. And was it Tom that said he couldn't believe that gut wrench?
Oh, Terry said that.
Terry said that, okay.
Said, yeah, you know, basically, see, Dennis loves to just go up by himself and climb rocks. And by rocks, you know, I mean, we're not, you know what that means. Let's go to the mountains. And Jerry basically said, I wouldn't want to be the rock.
Well, there was some bad blood on that, not from Dennis's standpoint, but Tony Ramos. Take me back. Was it that Ramos, the fact that one of the Brands sat in Dennis's corner and he didn't get any support? What was that all about?
Well, Ramos's version was, Ramos had been there. Ramos had been there for years. And here comes Dennis, who had been gone for almost three years, coming back to the Iowa wrestling room and getting treated as an equal. And the Brands, their version is that, hey, if you've wrestled here, you're always one of us. Which I think a lot of people would say sounds pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think everybody would feel that way. Every coach would feel that way. But it's, you know, it's like you didn't leave us just because you left us. It's not like he went and competed for some enemies of the Hawkeyes or coached for some enemies of the Hawkeyes. He simply took a long sabbatical. Well, he comes back and was welcomed with open arms, and they treated him equally according to the Brands, and I have no reason to question that. In the trials, Terry was with Ramos, and Tom was with Dennis, but Tom wasn't in his corner. Tom was a ways from the corner. Dennis had a coach slash friend of his in the corner, so it wasn't like Tom Brands was trying to take sides. It was just, let's have some balance.
Mm-hmm.
But Ramos lost. Ramos' dream was, you know, it was crushed, and I'm telling you, if it had been me, I'm sure I would have reacted a lot worse than Ramos did. It would have been a very hard thing to accept. But the fact is, he wasn't the best at that weight, and it wasn't even debatable by the time it was over with. Ramos was very fortunate just to get to the final. He escaped a couple of real close calls in the early rounds, and Dennis just powered through his matches. But So that ends, and Ramos is basically saying he was betrayed, and I'm out of here. And soon enough, not too long later, he becomes an assistant coach at North Carolina. Well, look, great. You know, fresh start, beginning of the coaching career. It's wonderful. But I asked Dennis about that last week, and Dennis said, it doesn't cost me any sleep at night. He was treated fairly. You know, I won, and that's the way Tony wanted to react, fine. But, you know, I consider him a friend, but, you know, it's not keeping him awake.
Mm-hmm. Mike Kolas, Gazette sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class, 3:39, coming up on 3:40. You can follow Mike on Twitter, at Halas, H-L-A-S. And, Mike, I read, as I'm sure you did, Mark Morehouse's piece on Josie Jewell today.
Yeah, and that was good.
It was really good. And if you missed it out there, folks, you need to go find it. Josie Jewell, junior star linebacker, was taken to Chicago, the only junior that's ever gone with the Iowa contingent during Kirk Ferentz's tenure, I believe. And here we find out that he's in this entrepreneurial program and has invented this a sort of electronic fence that you might see for dogs, but they're for cattle. And, I mean, this guy might make millions off this thing, but, I mean, this is a cat from a different litter, Mike.
Yeah, it's just a little slice of genius. Yeah, it's a large slice of genius. it's a great story, and I'll echo what you said. I recommend people read it. I'd hate to do it injustice by describing it, but injustice, I should say. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's sort of a bigger picture thing to me. We very easily portray these major college athletes as, we tar them all with the same brush. They major in football or whatever. And the reality of it is, sure, there are some who do. There always are everywhere you've got big-time football or basketball. There just are. I mean, you take any 100 people, you're going to have, people with varying degrees of interest in education. I don't care who it is. We all went to college with people who weren't that interested in being there. And we all went to college with people who threw themselves into it. Well, this guy clearly throws himself into it, and I, to this scope, this is a very rare story, but there are a lot of guys like this,
mm-hmm.
and not just guys, I mean men and women, all right? In fact, the GPA of the women's sporting teams is quite often incredible, in my opinion, on the good side, but I mean, Iowa's football team's got 24 players who were on in National Honor Society in high school. I wasn't in that, Mark. I don't know about you. You probably were, but I never qualified, you know?
Well, Sal was a lot tougher than Jefferson, I think, yeah.
but that's, I mean, getting in that is, I mean, they don't just give that away.
Uh-uh.
You earn it. And 24 or so, that's a lot. So I guess there's to my way of looking at it, there's a bigger lesson there or a bigger story.
Yeah, well put. Did I see you at a reunion over the weekend?
You weren't there.
No, that's what social media does, though.
Yeah.
Brings it into everybody's life.
I had a class reunion, yep.
We'll leave it at that. Hey, yeah, your son. Go ahead.
Strangely enough, it didn't have a number attached.
Okay.
It wasn't like it was a 40th or anything like that.
Your summer's about over. Saturday is Iowa Media Day. Your thoughts?
My summer's not close to being over. Don't talk like that.
Okay. What do you?
I'm taking 2 weeks of vacation in August.
Are you?
I am. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Mike, nice to catch up with you. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, okay?
Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about, some media days and all sorts of things. It starts popping.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
You bet, Mark.
Mike Kolas of the Gazette joining us on the Gym Class. Appreciate his appearance every other week, and I think we might be going every week with him during the season. We'll have to check with Scott on that. 3:44 on the Gym Class, and we want to give you an opportunity now. Jeff Downing, our producer, going to take your calls. We're going to be giving away 2 4-packs of tickets to the John Deere Classic. Each 4-pack includes 1 parking pass. The tournament is August 11th through the 14th. The passes can be used one day, any day, during the tournament. So if you're interested, give us a call. Let's go callers 6 and 7, Jeff. 6 and 7 for the 2 4-packs of John Deere Classic tickets. Back for more after this.
You're unique. You don't walk like everyone, talk like everyone, or sleep like everyone. So why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a truly customized mattress will cost you $5,000 to $10,000 until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions based on 4 key preferences, and we'll run it through our proprietary algorithms and develop your custom sleep profile. The result? The most comfortable mattress you've ever slept on. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. And for couples, we customize each side of the mattress. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to the Wall Street Journal are all talking about Helix Sleep. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free and give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. Go to helixsleep.com/PM and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/PM. helixsleep.com/PM.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like Freestyle and Walgreens True Metrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
To celebrate the Olympic Games, Bridgestone is giving away prizes. You could instantly win a $10,000 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card and other great prizes every day when you buy a set of 4 eligible Bridgestone tires. Stop by Firestone Complete Auto Care today. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Limit 2 entries per person. Ends August 21st. For official rules and to enter without purchase, visit BridgestoneWin.com. Limit 1 $10,000 Visa prepaid card daily fulfilled by mail. Prizes awarded subject to verification. Visa prepaid card may be used anywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. Cards issued by the Bancorp Bank, member FDIC, under license from VCUSA Inc. Neither Bancorp Bank nor VCUSA Inc. are a sponsor of or affiliated with this promotion.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back. It's Mark Dukes alongside Alex Kuhn today on the show. And Scott Unash on vacation. He'll be back on Thursday, 3:47 on the show. Jeff Downing wrapping up calls. Winners of the John Deere Classic tickets. We'll let you know who is going to snag those in just 1 second here. Poll question today at KGYMradio.com. What team improved its pennant chances the most prior to the MLB trade deadline? Would it be the Mets, the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Giants, the Cubs, or the Indians? Go ahead and vote there for your favorite. We told you about the Twins picking up Hector Santiago, left-handed knuckleballer from the Angels. I like the move. The Twins are giving up Ricky Nolasco. So long, Ricky. That's fine. Alex Meyer, who was a top pitching prospect at one time, not sure what's happened with him, and $4 million going to the Angels as well. We only have to hope, if we're Twins fans, at Santiago more than fills the void that Nolasco leaves. He's had some Nolasco's had some injury problems, and frankly, has not been terrific. He had some good outings this year, but just as many mediocre outings. So we'll see how that pans out. Twins baseball tonight at Cleveland with Andrew Miller in the lineup. Not in the lineup. He'll be out of the bullpen, newly acquired from the Yankees. Twins baseball, 7 p.m., joined in progress after the afternoon Players Club. We've got 2 winners of the tickets for the John Deere Classic. Steven from Mechanicsville, Matt from Coggin, both of them going to the John Deere Classic August 11th through the 14th. Alex, you're still scratching your head about Chris Sale. Why was he not moved? Should he have been moved? Should the White Sox have moved him? Were they asking too much?
It's funny. I was in Chicago over the weekend before Media Day. It was on Saturday, and I was visiting my cousin and my uncle and a couple of friends out there. And we were about to go to the White Sox game that night, and Chris Sale was scheduled to start. And of course, everybody knows what happens. He cuts up all the uniforms because he didn't want to wear whatever the throwbacks were, and the stir of the talk around Chris Sale just started heating up. I don't understand why people thought that. And when I heard ESPN updates talking about the fact that there were certain teams making a push for Chris Sale, and the White Sox were asking for an outrageous amount, quote unquote outrageous amount. If you're the White Sox, you have to ask for an outrageous amount. And I don't care what the stir around Chris Sale was about his attitude after he cut up all the jerseys. The fact is, he doesn't have a track record of being a bad teammate.
Didn't have any priors.
And he is a top five pitcher in Major League Baseball under one of the most affordable contracts. Let's look at this. In 2007, so next year, he will make just over $12 million. In 2018, he will make $12.5 million, and in 2019, he will make $15 million. He is locked up for three more years under a very affordable contract. He's a guy you want to build around, and if you're the White Sox, you still have a chance to build around him. Why would you not ask for an outrageous amount?
It's like the Dodgers moving Kershaw.
Yes, exactly.
Or the Marlins moving Fernandez.
Or the Angels moving Trout. You have to ask for an outrageous amount. And I saw a report earlier today where the Red Sox were one of those teams being rumored to have interest in Chris Sale. They said that they were not going to expend, they were not going to offer Yoan Moncada, their top prospect, for Chris Sale. Well, if I'm the front office, or if I'm Kenny Williams in Chicago, I'm hanging up the phone. If you're not going to get at least the top prospect, and then a couple of very good prospects, and I would think a major league player right now, I'm hanging up the phone for a guy who is a top five pitcher in Major League Baseball in Chris Sale, and he's under a ridiculously affordable contract.
I would ask for a high amount as well. I would say there isn't enough that you could give me for Sale, but I agree with you. He's a guy you build your team and staff around.
Exactly. And you just brought it up. I still couldn't wrap my mind around him being traded because I just couldn't understand. I don't think we've seen a trade happen in the modern era that would be as big and as maybe a four player or a five player for one.
Would you do a Chris Sale for Mike Trout deal?
Well, that would, wow. That would,
would you
that,
do
that
a Chris a Sale for Yasiel Puig and maybe a couple others?
A few others. Yes. A few others. It would have to be quite the deal there, but I don't think we've seen a trade in the modern era that hypothetically it would take to acquire Chris Sale.
Yeah. He's still in Chicago, and that's good for the White Sox. And not that he won't be moved, he'd have to clear waivers, and that's not going to happen.
No.
But there's always a winter time as well. But you make a good point about his contract, and that's really, really good for the White Sox at this point.
It is. And for all those people saying that he's kind of a baby and a prima donna, well, maybe he is. But as I just brought up, he has no priors. And if anything, he can make the argument that he just wants to win games. And if you have any chance of winning, of becoming a contender, you have to have him in the mix.
Let's get to our last quick break, and we'll be back to conclude the gym class on KGYM.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases? But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA LLC has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
It's only 39 days until the NFL kicks off the 2016 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Go to MediacomCable.com.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with Unash and Dukes, KGYM.
Oh, welcome back, 3:55. A couple more minutes left in the gym class. I'd like to thank Michael Loss from the Gazette joining us, as he does every couple of weeks as we catch up with what's going on in the sports world with Mike. Again, we talked to him about the Josie Jewell article that Mark Morehouse penned in this morning's paper, and that to me is recommended reading. I need to go out there and grab that. Afternoon Players Club coming up. More on Major League Baseball trade deadline passing. Some of the moves with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn to be joined as well by Chris Emma, 670, The Score in Chicago. Tomorrow, Cal Eldred will visit with him. He's get his impressions about the movements in Major League Baseball. Chris List scheduled this week on Wednesday. John Cranton on Thursday. Jeremiah Davis of the Gazette. Going to be joining us on Friday. Again, Scott Unash will be back in the saddle come Thursday. And we mentioned they tried to get the Pennsylvania 400 in at Pocono, and it was called off 22 laps short. They had fog delay, rained yesterday and whatnot. Chris Buescher is your winner. Landon Castle of Cedar Rapids finishing 30th. On the text line, 2024, did you guys hear yesterday that Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth rode apart on Ragbri? No, I did not. No, I think that would have hit the news, but maybe a texter witnessed that. I don't know.
I did not hear that either. Although, when we were in Chicago, we had several guests who joined us. I think it was Chris Ash and a couple other guests mentioning Ragbri.
Yeah. Commissioner of the college football playoffs.
Yeah, Bill Hancock. That's who it was.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me there.
No worries. Lastly, happy birthday going out to Jerry Garcia. He was born on this date. Kirk Ferentz, 61 years young today, Iowa football coach. He'll be entertaining the media Saturday, Iowa Media Day, as the season, as it were, gets kicked off, and you'll be there.
We will be there. And one more note I wanted to add. Mark, did you realize that this past weekend was the last weekend for many months that we will not have football?
No.
The Hall of Fame game is upcoming on Sunday, so football season is about ready to begin, and I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too, but I don't want the summer to disappear too much. It's always a quandary.
I have no problem with the summer disappearing.
Jeff Downing, our producer, thanks very much for your work today. Alex Kuhn, thanks for joining me. We'll see you the next 2 days. Again, Cal Eldred joining us on the Gym Class tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
You know, when it comes to baseball, staying alert on the base paths can help turn a hit into a winning run.
And when it comes to business travel, a ready-for-you alert from La Quinta Inns and Suites can help you score a win on the road.
Just choose your time of